In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text from Revelation 14, Romans 3, and Matthew 11. Brothers and sisters in Christ, life, well, it seems to ebb and flow, doesn't it? Like waves and roller coasters, sometimes you're up, and sometimes you're down. And it's always most exciting and most terrifying when you don't know what comes next. But that ebb and flow, that up and down, it gets old after a while. Ride a roller coaster too many times, stay on a boat long enough, and you'll get sick, at least sick of it. Life can be the same way, you know. And with everything up in the air, everything moving faster and faster and faster, it can be hard to stand upright. But that is what the Reformation is all about. It's about standing upright and beholding the very face of the living God. You see, the Church of the Reformation, it is not a movement. It's not a fad. It's not the next big thing. In it, you will not find financial success, stability, fame, glory, or even accolades in this life. Maybe that's why you can count on the fact that the Church of the Reformation will never, at least in this life, find any great success by worldly standards. Yes, it's true. I know what you're thinking. Some of you remember the time when pews were full, when you had to bring in extra chairs, when you used to line the aisles with those extra chairs, a time of great building and expanding and planting and rejoicing. But what about 100 years before that? You could scarcely find a church that adhered to the truth of Holy Scripture as expressed in the Lutheran confessions. So whether you are in a season of growth or decline, it is hard to say. And it's not for you to say. Certainly, things do appear to be shrinking, don't they? In fact, according to an April 2019 Gallup study, American church attendance has declined some 20% over the last two decades. Less people are coming. Less offerings are being given. Many parishes are merging into dual, tri, or quad parishes. Others are closing. It's more and more common for a man to be called from the seminary to serve 2 to 3 or even 4 congregations, or to end up being a worker priest. And yet, who is to say that we are not in a time of great building? It is not for us to say. After all, it is Christ and Christ alone who builds his church. We're not given to calculate or measure its growth and success. No, we are given to faithfully preach, teach, and gather here weekly, every Sunday, around our Lord Jesus Christ, who is present for you here in word and sacrament. This, and this alone, is how Christ promises and does build his church. So in the midst of an ever-changing world, let us stand firm. Let us stand upright upon Jesus Christ and him alone. For there is no other way. There is no other truth. There is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved than that of Jesus Christ. So let us stand upon Jesus and Jesus alone. But such a stand will not always prove successful, at least not in a worldly measurable sense. In fact, quite the opposite. Standing firmly upon Jesus and Jesus alone, it will invite enemies from all sorts of movements. You'll be enticed by what you see, by growth and success in whatever seems new and whatever seems exciting to you. You'll at times grow fearful. thinking that the very ground on which you stand is crumbling from right under you. The assaults of the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh, they will be numerous as they will be poignant. But do not fear. Christ builds his church. He is the chief cornerstone, the capstone, the solid rock and foundation on which we stand. He is the head, and we are his church, the body of Christ. He is the groom, and we are the bride. He loves his church. He loves each and every one of you. And he promises to never leave you and never forsake you, his beloved bride, his body, the church. But church, be the church. Faithfully gather around Jesus Christ and him alone, given here every week in word and sacrament. For apart from him, there is no hope. Apart from him, there is no forgiveness. Apart from him, there is no freedom, no salvation, no resurrection, no life. So run. Run here to Holy Cross. Run here to Emmanuel. Frequently, weekly. For this is where Jesus promises to be present and present to forgive your sins, to give you eternal life, to give you his presence here in time. This is where Christ is present in his word, in holy baptism, in holy absolution, in holy communion. Return to Jesus again and again and again. He comforts you. He strengthens you. He helps you. He upholds you. He forgives you. He raises you. He brings you into his presence, the presence of the living God. So church, be the church. And know this. Church, it's not yours to build or to grow. You are not given to fix the chaotic culture around you. What's given to you is fairly simple. Cling to Jesus and Jesus alone, and love your neighbor. That's it. Whatever else happens, happens, that is the Lord's prerogative, not yours. He sends good and evil. He casts up, he kills, and he makes alive again. But you cling to him no matter what. For he alone is your level ground, your escape from the ups and downs of this life. Yes, of course, this life will take you up and down, but in Christ, you will not be toppled over. Not so among the movements of the world. If you pursue them, if you love them, if you trust in them, if you are allured by them, then you will always be pulled one way or another. One way, the way of growth and success, leads to pride, which always comes before the fall. The other way, a fear and anxiety, that leads to despair, from which few. It was these two ways that attacked and mocked our Lord also, like children sitting in the marketplaces. St. John the Baptist came neither eating or drinking, that is, abstaining from the pleasures of this life, and they said he has a demon. Jesus, the Son of Man, came eating and drinking, that is, embracing and absolving creation itself, and they said, look at him, he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. There is no appeasing the two ways. There is no satisfaction, no end, no goal, no fulfillment. Their end is, of course, destruction. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Why would you expect anything different? Did they not take Christ by force? Is not his body the very kingdom of heaven? It suffered violence, to be sure, on the cross. And we who are members of the church, members of his body, so we too will suffer violence, perhaps by the sword, but also by the accusations of both ways. Pride and despair are always taunting us, up and down, growth, decline, success, failure. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. Trouble is expected. Trouble is the norm. The devil, the world, your own sinful flesh against you. But what does that matter? Christ has overcome the world. So what if we're accused, beaten, sifted down, or martyred? It is not ours to control. Christ builds the church. He's the one who justifies, who sets us upright on our feet, and gives us to behold the glory of the Father. You might not be happy in this life. You might not accomplish all that you hope for. You might leave unfulfilled many dreams and goals and aspirations. But life is more than happiness. It's more than the feeling of success or growth or upward movement that's so enticing. It's simply this. It's God's love for you in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is what the Reformation is all about. It's about Jesus who stands for you and with you, and in him you live and you move and you have your being. No, the Church of the Reformation isn't a movement. It's not going anywhere or doing anything or building a great resume of great accomplishments. Whatever good it does is what Christ chooses it to do. He alone builds. And we receive, we confess, we love, we rejoice, and we take and eat, for this is Christ for you. In him we stand, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being, in him we behold the very face of the living God. That's what it is to be justified. That's what it is to be the church, the body, the bride, the household of God. And in this church, whether it seems like things are up and down, growing or declining, you have Christ. You have Jesus, who frees you from the pendulum of pride and despair. To him and him alone be glory forever. Amen.